Thank you, Far Away, for getting this prepared. Let's stand, and I will ask Aaron to read our scripture this morning, John chapter 14. We're going to do the whole chapter and just take time to discuss that as well. Aaron, you good?
John 14, 1 to 31. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place, the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Thank you, Aaron. Before you sit down, let's go ahead and gather around tables. And this time, let's put English speaking on the left side of the room. English speaking on the left side of the room. And if you're Mandarin speaking and prefer to use Chinese, go to the right side of the room. Okay, and gather around the table. We have a question to share, I think. Question to consider. So, Chinese speaking will go on the right side of the room. We'll gather for the English speaking. Come on the left side of the room. Okay. And this will be just a quick question.
What if we don't speak English or Chinese?
Yeah, thanks. We know better. We know. Okay, our question this morning. Our question this morning will be, how do you feel about navigation systems? Let's just ask this question among ourselves. How do you feel about your navigation systems? What has been your experience when you used, what was your experience like when you used the navigation system for the first time? And can you imagine driving without a navigation system now? So I'm a pretty old guy, not a real techie at all. I've probably gone full circle with all these navigation things. Way back when, my default go-to navigation system, that was with Google Maps. My first exposure was with MapQuest. That's an old one, goes back probably 20 years now. When that happened at that time, I probably had to travel maybe once a month to some place I didn't know, never been before. So I would call up the application on my laptop, print out the instructions, and then would get to my location. Finally got used to having an app on my phone. Let me share about this one time, my one experience. That was kind of scary. Went down with Val and I. We're returning from a trip down to Southern California. We're on one of the LA freeways. It was the rush hour, and the freeways were, as you can imagine, they were packed just like they usually are. The navigation told me to get off the freeway, and so we did. Got off the freeway. We were onto the streets of LA, and then gave me instructions to go across three or four lanes of traffic and make a right turn. Did that and went right into a one-way street. And we turned and cars were coming straight at us. I said, oh my goodness. Anyway, we've gone through that. Applications now are, I'm pretty used to it. Still get a little bit nervous if it's just me and the app on the phone telling me to go left or right. That makes me a little bit nervous. But now, fortunately now, usually Val's in the car with me, and we're able to get through to our destinations with minimal anxiety. But anyway, I thought that would be a fun question, just a time to get to know each other a little bit more, sharing a story or two. So let's go ahead and do that, okay? After all. Amazing, amazing. You're welcome to return to a seat that is comfortable for you. Thank you for participating in that exercise together. And I said we got some stories now for everybody, from everybody. Very good. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that for the technology you have given to us. And Lord, I just give thanks that you have made each of us unique and special, and you deal with us in a very individual way and personal way. And so, Lord, as we spend time in this scripture, John chapter 14, may you speak to us, to our hearts, give us ears to hear and minds receptive to the message you have for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is November 17th, and by my count, we have 38 days left before Christmas. I have not done my shopping yet. Don't have any, the holiday plans are still coming into place. Our scripture today, this chapter, it's a long chapter, but I think it has a message for me, it has a message for you. If you are worried, you're thinking about all of the things you have to do, the anxious and stressful times that will be coming up in literally just these next few weeks. So as I read through John chapter 14, one of the first things I noticed when I read through this chapter, there are a number of different characters. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Verse 8, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And then later on, verse 22, Judas shows up. This is Judas, not Judas Iscariot. "Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" So these three, Thomas, Philip, and Judas, they were in that group, 12 disciples, but they're not the big names, right? Peter, James, and John, they're not among that executive group, executive committee. Remember where we are in this Gospel of John, just as a reminder, the previous chapter, John chapter 13. Jesus and the 12 disciples, they've all sat down for a meal. Jesus gets up in the middle of the meal, washes the disciples' feet, because the disciples' feet had, they didn't take care of that when everyone arrived. During the meal, remember what happens? Jesus reveals that he and literally the rest of the group were going to be betrayed by one of their own. Turns out to be Judas Iscariot. Judas at that point leaves the group, and Jesus gives the new commandment. Let me hit this. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We talked about that a little bit even last week. And then after these quick two verses, new command from Jesus, Peter goes on to say in chapter 13, and this is how chapter 13 closes, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus responds, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Before the rooster crows three times, you will disown me." So at this point, that's where we are, start of John chapter 14. A little bit of anxiousness and nervousness would be around the dinner table right now. A betrayer, someone who is going to betray you, has been in your midst. Jesus has issued this new command to love one another. Peter has just made this great proclamation and now was literally being rebuked by Jesus. Probably not too comfortable, a little bit of an awkward feeling around the table. And then with that as our background, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is really actually a command, as in when you go back to the original languages, Jesus issuing command, "Do not be troubled, believe in me." in a sense, relax, believe in God, believe in Jesus, his son, and things will work itself out. Thomas has actually asked a pretty good question. We heard, we saw that, Philip and Judas. Those are reasonable questions. I think our lesson for us in this time of anxiousness, stress, when we're under that, feel free to ask Jesus questions. Talk to him. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of anxiety and uncertainty, we need to be like these disciples. The unknown disciples know very little about them, but they had time and they were interested enough to be able to go to Jesus, ask him some questions, knowing that Jesus would listen to them and hear their questions and hear them out in their questions. I think one more lesson just from this quick observation. If you're in a manager, supervisor role, you have the responsibility for leading a group, be sure, be like Jesus, make time, take time, be accessible, and allow people to ask questions. Allow others to ask questions. We all have our agendas, but allow people to ask questions. Now, last Sunday afternoon, a week ago, Val and I attended a celebration of life for Marvin Root. This is the bulletin. Marvin was here in Chico. He lived an incredible life, a real life of faithfulness, service, sacrifice for Jesus, a true believer. As I sat through the service, this was out at Calvary Chapel, all I could think about as people were sharing was, wow, what an example this gentleman was. He was an example for me, an example for the whole community. Marvin and his wife, Sherry, actually assisted with the startup of us, of ABC, 25 years ago, praying for ABC, supporting us when we were in our very startup stages. But one of the scriptures chosen for that service last week was this one in John chapter 14. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Real word of comfort and very applicable. Marvin was a professional in the building and construction industry, helped with a lot of building of churches in town. So this scripture was just a great reference. A house with many rooms, I thought those were particularly appropriate. The challenge here, and it's a message for each of us, for actually all of us, and for every human being, what happens when we die? Now, not growing up in a Christian home, thinking that thought, what happens at death, was actually pretty terrifying for me personally. By acknowledging, as I was exposed to Scripture, by acknowledging and repenting of sins, of my sins, accepting Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life as Lord and Savior, knowing that a room was going to be prepared for me in heaven was incredibly comforting for me. It gave me great hope and confidence. So if anybody here has not made that decision, I really urge you to do that, to accept Jesus into your life. If there's a question about that, please talk to me. Actually, almost anyone out here, we can walk through that with you as to that process. And then, you know, even this morning, as we were going through our Bible study this morning, talked about angels, Jesus coming back to get us. And the thought occurred to me, when we go back, will we be, how will we be like angels? Not only will we have a place for us, but we will have a role in heaven. Jesus says this, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, quick sidelight. We've talked about this a number of times already before. I am statements are in this Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. Those are the first three and the references. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. We've talked about those. Today, we're talking and looking at I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then next week, we'll be talking I am the true vine. And there are actually two more I am statements. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And then Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, this is later on in John, he went out and asked, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And they replied, I am. I am he, Jesus said. Okay. Go back. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. This was a response by Jesus to the question asked by Thomas, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way, right? So I just mentioned, Lord is coming back, is preparing rooms for us up in heaven. So we actually know where we're going once we make that decision. But how do we get there? And then Jesus responds, gives us the directions. We get there through Jesus. Now, think about those experiences you've had with the navigation systems that we talked about around the table. Sometimes we really, in fact, don't know the way. We know where we're going, but we don't know the details of where we're going or how we're going to get there. That's an example, an illustration for us going through life. It's the life for us as Christians. Jesus will give us the directions. Maybe that be continue straight, turn left, turn right, go two blocks and make a right turn, or make a left turn. But we don't know all of the directions, do we? We go two or three blocks, and we kind of know. We might know that we make a turn two blocks from now, but that's all we know, especially if you're not able to access the navigation system while you're driving. It tells you the app. Will tell you, you know, what you need to know for your next step, your next turn. That's how we should be living the Christian life as well. One intersection at a time. Jesus, where do I go here? And where do I go now? We know where we will end up. We make our decision. We will end up in heaven. But how we get there, Jesus will help you get there. But it's only one or two blocks at a time. Now, I assume most of you are like me. When it comes to conflict, you look to avoid conflict as best you can. Disagreements are not pleasurable experiences for you. However, here we have a pretty absolute statement that Jesus gives us. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see that? It's a little bit uncomfortable for us when Jesus talks that way. No other way to heaven except through him. What about the good works and all of the other religious we people in the world, none of these has the guarantee of a room in heaven for us. I think it's pretty clear. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He says that in verse 6. So I've read this quote before. Let me just go ahead and give it to you again from C.S. Lewis. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would not be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not let that option open for us, and he did not intend to. So we're now at the end of the conversation here that Jesus has with these disciples. He ends the conversation, do not let your heart be troubled. That's in verse 27. It's the same kind of concept that we began this discussion with, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Again, a command, believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus also was challenged at this time. Remember this from last week, chapter 13. Jesus was troubled in spirit. So a really difficult time, anxious time. In the midst of all this, Jesus made this promise, I will not leave you as orphans. How can Jesus say he will not leave us as orphans? Well, he's going to depart. We see that in the last half of this, John chapter 14. And another advocate is kind of will come to alongside of us. That's the Holy Spirit. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. An advocate is one who comes alongside. We are not left alone. And isn't that our common source of anxiety, of fear, that we're left alone, we don't know what's going to happen in the future? The Holy Spirit is given to us by Jesus, by God, and by Jesus to come alongside of us. Final thoughts. Throughout John chapter 14, if you love me, you keep my commands. Keep my commands. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. A little bit further on, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. My quiet time yesterday came across, happened to be in the book of Daniel, Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 1 says this, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So I could relate to that. I had a couple nights last week where I was troubled, could not sleep real well. I'm pretty sure that happens with all of us sooner or later, maybe regularly. There's just times of uncertainty, anxiety. We're going through stress. That's the world we live in. Our passages today, Jesus offers us, and don't forget this, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, who is going to be an advocate. He's going to walk alongside of us. So we are not alone. He offers us peace, not as the world gives, but his peace is for us. And the other key in these scriptures, we love Jesus, but we're also responsible to be obedient to his calling, to follow his directions. Last week's sermon, Dr. Song gave us, contrasted Noah and Jonah. Remember those guys? The obedience to Jesus is a natural result of our love and our commitment to him. I know this is the end of the semester for all of you in the education world. Challenging, challenging times for us, the rest of us as well. In the with the holidays, much to do, much to get stressed about. Remember and recognize that Jesus is walking with us. Each of us, all on our own personal journey as we're going through our lives, God loves us. Recognize we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has a plan for us. He wants us to experience this life on earth with a trust in him and in our day-to-day lives, knowing that he has indeed prepared a place for us in his kingdom. He is ultimately going to come and get us and take us to the place he has already prepared for us. And the final word from a commentary, he provides assurance to the disciples, and this message of assurance also holds true for us. He offers us peace, a peace that the world around us will not understand or comprehend, a true and everlasting peace, because he has prepared a place for us. And at the right time, he will open the door for us to enter in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the relationship you have given to us, that indeed we can have life eternal and life with you. So, Father, in these weeks ahead, may we experience a peace unlike that the world has to offer. Thank you for that peace given to each and every one of us, made available. May we be obedient and trust in you for all of these days and weeks, even months ahead. We give this message into your hands and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.